Welcome to the Peace Apostolic Ministries podcast. For more information about Peace or other resources from John Alley, visit peace.org.au. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at our website, peace.org.au/give, or use the donate button in our app. Thanks for joining with us today. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Normally, the person preaching will pray, and I'm going to do that, but I have a request this morning that you also pray. And I want you to pray that the Holy Spirit, our teacher, the Spirit of truth, will open the eye of your understanding. We're going to open the Word of God, and we want His truth to be not just wash over us, but be planted in our heart. So join with me as we ask the Lord for help. Lord, we do honor and exalt your holy name. Indeed, you alone are the Lord, the Savior, the King of kings, the Creator, the Governor, Preserver of all things. And Lord, as we come to open your word, Holy Spirit, we ask for your help. As Jesus said, you are the Spirit of truth. You have been given that you would lead us and guide us and teach us, that you would be the Spirit of truth to us and give us understanding. Oh, I pray for myself and I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning that you would move upon our hearts and minds. Lord, that we would have a greater revelation, a greater understanding of your holy purposes. So, Lord, we commit this time to you. Be glorified, be exalted. Holy Spirit, move upon every heart. And Lord, we take authority over every spirit that would try to interfere. Lord, surely you yourself said that the God of this age has blinded the eyes of people. You declared him to be a deceiver, the father of lies. So we would rebuke every lying spirit. Holy Spirit, be the Spirit of truth today. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I was very grateful for the worship this morning. Every now and again, things just seem to slot together really well. And so much of the worship today was just in line with what I want to talk about. Now, this statement, I believe, would probably immediately stir in your thought a particular thing. Would that be true? And would it have anything to do with the 25th of April? Okay. I'm going to talk to you this morning about something that affects every single one of us. And a lot of us don't understand the way things work, and a lot of us don't take hold of things the way we should. Now, I'm going to show you some scriptures. Now, this is my belief, that this isn't just a book. This isn't just something we call the Bible. I believe this is the Word of God. And this is my thesis, that if God has said something, there was a reason for saying it. And sometimes we can read it, and it just goes over us. Sometimes it bounces on us, like an impact. But I want to show you this morning that the Word of God is supposed to actually penetrate into your being. Because if God has said something and it's important for us, then we need not just to have an intellectual understanding, but it needs to actually come into the very inner man and become part of us and part of how we behave. A lot of you who've been around the church for a while would recognize this passage. Moses said to the people, commemorate. It's another word for remember. The day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of bondage, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Now we know the story. People have been in bondage in Egypt for years and years and years, and the Lord wanted to deliver them. But this is only a picture of what was going to happen years later with the Lord Jesus. So right from the start, I want you to think of something. When did the Lord bring you out of the bondage of sin? Some of us can't remember the date, but I want you to think about it, because what God was saying to them, don't forget the day of your deliverance. And what did they do to commemorate this? They established the Passover. True? And what was the Passover? It was a remembering of the blood that was applied to those doorposts and lintel, and the angel of death passed over and they were preserved. So that ceremony, that Passover celebration went on for years and years and years, right up to the time of Christ. Then on Mount Sinai, God comes down. The other thing I want you to think about is the significance of the event surrounding the things that were told. So first, they're delivered out of Egypt. Was that a fairly significant event? 2 million plus people being brought out of the nation over the Red Sea. These were significant events that affected the people personally, individually. So then on Mount Sinai, God comes down. Do you think that might have impacted the people? You know, they didn't want to go up because, you know, God was rumbling around, lightning and thunder. And Moses is up there, comes down with a glowing face. And he brings the tablets with the law inscribed on them. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. An instruction of the Lord. So the word remembrance, it's recollection, recounting, commemorating also. So there are many things we do just in everyday life, like we always announce here on Sunday, the birthdays for the week. We all like our birthdays to be remembered, don't we? And we all like to have maybe some sort of recognition from either our family or spouses or... Is that true? Looking forward, Tony, for a... I'm looking forward to your cake on Tuesday. We always have cake in the office when... You know. Do you look forward to that? Three like to commemorate their birthdays. Wedding anniversaries. All these things. But what often happens is there needs to be something attached to it to help us remember. Now, I'm going to stimulate you with some imagery. Okay, what springs to mind, Philip Alley? A poppy. It's definitely a poppy. Ah, Remembrance Day. Young people, do you know what Remembrance Day is all about? You do? Good. This year it'll be 100 years. King George, in 1919, instituted Remembrance Day. For all those, I think I've got it here. A Memorial Day observed in Commonwealth of Nation members' states since the end of the First World War to remember the members of the armed forces who have died in the line of duty. So we associate the red poppy with a date and with events, significant events, things that we're grateful for, things that we remember. But I've been doing a little bit of research. And I'll just stimulate you a bit more. See if this one triggers your thoughts. That's a blank one. What happened to my screen? It's on mine. Help! Did it came up? What came up? Well, where's it gone? No, that's a picture. My 9/11's gone. Disappointed. It didn't happen to you. It didn't even happen in our nation, did it? But it had ramifications of remembrance across many nations. And all you've got to do is say today, 9/11, and what happens to your memory? Now, here's an interesting question, if it comes up. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone remember that? You do? Yeah? Judy and I, Tiffany Reese and Joshua, were on a bus on the Remarkable Mountains in New Zealand. We had finished a day of playing in the snow, and we got on the bus to come back down, and the bus driver had the radio on. And this is what came on. There's something else happened the same day that people probably wouldn't remember. It was on the radio the same day, and that's why I remember it. See, by association, there's connection in our memory with things. The airline Ansett collapsed. It went into liquidation on the 13th, but on the 11th, and how do I know this? Because the bus driver was telling some of the people on the bus that their flights weren't going to be with Ansett because they weren't flying anymore, and they were going to probably fly with Singapore Air or Air New Zealand. Now, why am I dribbling on with all this? Because I'm trying to show you that by connection and association, our memory is triggered and stimulated and causes us to remember things that didn't even affect us, but took place in the world. Now, whether you're interested in statistics or not, I did a little bit of research. Now, this is what happens if you look at your extreme left-hand side. This is when people hear something. The next one, tactile, is when you have interaction with it or touch it. And the next one's also visual. So the graph shows the retention. So if someone sits here in church and you just hear someone speaking to you, that's roughly what the retention will be immediately afterwards. But if you are interacting with it, so what would that mean for us in church? That would mean probably having your Bibles out, taking notes, interacting with what the preacher's saying, you know. But the next day, you see what happens? We have a diminishing of remembering. And there's sort of similar proportions as if you've only heard it today, have a look what happens by the end of the week. Whoa. We've lost a significant amount of what was said. A little bit more stimulus. Now, don't say anything. I just want you to think. What does that stimulate in your thoughts? Well, what about this? Now, did you think of an empty cross and an empty tomb, or did you think of Jesus dying and Jesus being raised? Or none of those? See, because the fact is, these things stimulate us, and everyone can have different thoughts. But what is it that we're going to remember? You know, Levi said, you know, it's not Resurrection Sunday, but I think every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. You know, we celebrate, we rejoice, we remember. What that graph actually shows us is that memory fades. If we go back to the very first scripture, when God said to Moses, tell the people to remember, commemorate being brought out. So there was established an annual feast, the Passover. But after a few generations, the people who were celebrating the Passover weren't the people who came out of Egypt. True? It starts to lose significance because now we're being told of what happened. We weren't participants in it. And so it can end up being, as it was for many, a religious activity. We do this, this, and this. And we have to hold to this, this, and this. And it loses its personal value to us. An empty cross, an empty tomb. See, it could speak of victory, or it should speak of victory. Jesus overcoming sin and death, being raised triumphant. Now, we're just going to backtrack a little bit because for some, it meant defeat. I want to read you a passage of Scripture. And yes, it is an Easter passage. And then we're going to look at something a little bit deeper. On the first day of the week, this is Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" So what was their memory? He was put in the tomb. And they say, "Why are you looking for him?" Well, wouldn't that be where you'd be looking for him? That's where they put him. So why would these angels say this? Let's have a look. And here's the next few verses for you. "He is not here. He has risen. Remember." Remember what? "How he told you while he was still with you." And what did he tell them? "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered. Is that the way it works for you? "Oh, I forgot all about that. But now you've stimulated my thoughts again. Oh, I do remember you said that." So when I read that, I thought, okay, where did he say this? Well, the three synoptics all record it. So Jesus actually did, on several occasions, not just once. And there's something very interesting to be observed. If you want to go and read all these verses, very interesting things. For one, Peter didn't accept what Jesus said. Do you remember what he said? Forbid it, Lord. No, thou shalt not go up to Jerusalem. Thou shalt not hand yourself over, and thou shalt not be crucified. Remember what Jesus said to him? Called him the devil. Remember? Well, that was Peter's response to Jesus trying to warn them about what was going to happen. So obviously it didn't sink in, did it? Because Peter didn't believe either. One of the other verses, it says, the disciples didn't understand and didn't ask. So Jesus told them something, and they thought, I've got no idea what he's talking about. I'm not going to ask him. Just forget it. Too hard. Don't want to know. Then there was a couple. They got really excited. Woohoo! Let's find out what we can get out of this. Oh, Jesus, after all this happens, can we be your number one and number two? All I'm pointing out is do you sit here every Sunday and hear the Word of God and be one of these? Didn't hear it, didn't want to hear it, don't understand it. What does it mean for me? Just saying. Need to think about it. Then I found something else. Sorry, that's one of the scriptures that actually specifically identifies the things that Jesus said. We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. Brothers and sisters, how many trigger points are there for the disciples on what Jesus told them was going to happen and then what happened? Just look at them. Betrayed. Who betrayed him? Were the disciples there when Judas brought them to arrest him? Trigger point? Jesus said this was going to happen. No. Condemn him to death. A few days later. Trigger point. Jesus said this was going to happen. Be mocked and flogged. No, it just wasn't one. There was all these trigger points, and they still didn't recognize that Jesus said, I'll be raised on the third day. Let's just go to the day after the crucifixion. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that the deceiver, Syed, there's the wrong spelling there, said, after 3 days I'll rise again. How ironical that those who were going to persecute him and kill him remembered that Jesus said this is what he was going to do, but none of his disciples remembered. Don't you think that's weird? Does that suggest anything to you? Could suggest a lot of things, I guess. But as I was pondering this, what it suggested to me was they were listening more carefully to what Jesus was saying than his own disciples. What thinkest thou? I remember when I was a teenager, I don't know if this should even go on tape. You know, I was raised in a Christian home. I was taken to church from basically baby, Sunday school, the whole hog. But I can remember as a teenager sitting in the meeting, and if you'd asked me afterwards what the preaching was about, I probably couldn't have told you anything. It's a reality. Was that the preacher's fault? No. Was it the devil's fault? No. It's my fault. What was my problem? Well, one of the problems was I didn't have a revelation that I needed to know what the Word of God said for the benefit of my life. So therefore, I must have had a sense of it being irrelevant, or I was just pure dull. It's the Spirit of God that brings us alive to things. Attending church does not give you revelation. Hearing the preacher preach does not give you revelation. The scripture is very clear. The revelation only comes by the Spirit of God. And that's why we prayed the prayer we did at the start. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Of course, everyone in church says, yes, of course I believe that. I'm not going to say I don't believe it. So let's ask another question, perhaps a little more probing. When you read the Word of God, or when you listen to it being read, preached or taught, do you hear it? Well, we could have a little test afterwards. A little examination. Isn't that what they do at university? Give you a little... Find out what you heard. What you learned. I went to university. I did engineering. And after we used to have a lecture, then we'd do lab. So their theory was that after you'd listened to the theory, you'd be able to go in the lab and do what they told you. I remember my very first lecture in hydraulics. And after about half the lecture was over, I suddenly realized that he was lecturing us. I didn't realize he was trying to teach us something because, see, lecturers don't teach. They lecture. And all of a sudden, this nausea came over me. I don't know what he's talking about. It was the very first lesson or lecture I had at university. And when he said, and later this week, you'll go to the laboratory and test this theory, I knew I was in trouble. I didn't realize there had been a theory. I did not hear the theory. I did not even have the handbook, because you know what happens if you go to university? They never have the textbooks for you. So I couldn't even read about it at home. It's not like all you lucky people, it's all online for you. No, all ours was in the book. I'm thinking, what theory? I even remember. See, this is when you have stimulus. I remember even what the topic was. The stability of a floating body that I knew nothing about. But I still had to go to the lab and watch this experiment with this thing floating in a tank of water. And I didn't know the theory, though. See, I was there, and I was someone who was, as you know, those who know me, I'm pretty focused. So I'm there with good intent. I'm there to hear the lecturer. But I didn't even know what he was talking about. People sit in church like that, week after week. And here is the punchline. Do you put it into practice? I'll tell you a little story. This is many, many years ago. I received a phone call from a couple and asked would I visit their home. They were having some marriage difficulties. And so I drove to their home, and it was not a very pleasant atmosphere. Anyway, I sat down, I started trying to connect with them. So I said to the gentleman, these were Christians, I said, what does the scripture tell us about being a husband? He looked at me blank, completely blank. I said, do you not know or do you not want to tell me? Because, you know, if you know what it is, you know, you're supposed to be like Christ to our wives. And, you know, things like that are really difficult. So I turned to the wife and I said, what does the scripture tell you about being a wife? No answer. So the same thing. Are you just not wanting to answer the question or do you not know? They said, we don't know. I was really surprised. They've been in the church for years, but they did not know what the scripture tells us. How can you live a life in accordance with the will of God if you don't even know what he said about it? So for me, this is one of the key elements. And you would know that James also said this, do not be just a hearer of the word, but a doer. So you might read something, but you don't really know about it or understand about it until you're actually putting it in practice and it becomes part of your behavior. Now, you would all recognize this scripture. As I said, I went to church from just very small, went to Sunday school. We don't have Sunday school, but who knows the story of the wise and foolish builder? Put your hand up. Okay. It's prefaced by Jesus saying, he who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Of course, what you've got to do is go and read everything that comes before this. And when you go and read all that, it's challenging, isn't it? It's challenging to put the Word of God into practice. But see, we've got to remember that the very purpose of it is that we're supposed to be representing Christ in the world, not representing ourselves. We are supposed to be Christ to our neighbors, Christ to those we come in contact. We will be the only Christ they see. So, what I've always found interesting about this parable is when you read the whole parable, Jesus says that the storms of life will come upon both houses. You know, some people in the prosperity side of things sort of say, well, if you've got bad things happening to you, you must be in sin. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, you know, the storms of life will come. But when they come, if you've heard my word and put it into practice, your house will stand. Now, stimulus, is that good for you? Try that again. Because see, this could even tickle your beliefs right now. Because you might be going through a little bit of a difficult thing. These things happen to us all. Health, finances, family, jobs. What? Just make the list. That can be a storm of life. But what are you doing in the midst of that storm? Are you believing what God said? My house will stand. God, you are my provider. You'll bless me and protect me. It's pretty hard to do that sometimes. But you did say you believed the word of God. And this is where the conflict comes. Do we or don't we? When the test comes, that's the proving. Now, obviously, I'm only giving you a very small stimulus because Jesus said hundreds of things, right? And I can't be here this morning saying, well, here's the list of 3,956 things that Jesus said. It's not going to happen. But here's just a couple that I know quite often is a big struggle for people. Did Jesus say this or not? Do not judge, do not condemn, forgive, love one another. There's just a little tiny nutshell of things he said. When we're young, we don't understand all these things or have read them. But as we grow, something's supposed to happen. Hebrews 4:12 tells us this, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Now, I'm going to tell you a little story. It's probably not the best analogy, but a few weeks ago, I got pretty crook. I ended up with kidney stones. Now, if anyone knows about kidney stones, they're comparable to childbirth, apparently, which I don't know about. Well, I have watched my wife. Looks fairly intense. Tempted to tell a funny story, but I don't know if I should, in the seriousness of the point. Yes, I will. Guys, you ever been to prenatal class? You know, it's all very well when the baby's in there not doing anything. Okay, you have to help your wife breathe, you know. You've got to help her. You know, when those contractions, yeah, help her to breathe. Yeah. Okay, do a little bit of practice here. Yeah, okay. It's fine. There's no contractions. You know, just wait a minute. And you get in the labor ward, and the contractions start. Breathe, Judy. Judy, breathe. Breathe, Judy. And what are you supposed to do at that stage? You're supposed to slap them? I didn't have that in the, you know, the training. But she's not breathing. You know, she's just holding her breath and going red in the face and claw marks in my skin. How did we get there? I can't remember. Anyway, that's right. I was in pain. And they tell me, the kidney stones are a little bit like giving birth. So I have somewhat of a sympathy now for ladies. But this happened when Judy was away. So it happened on a Thursday night. And, you know, sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night not quite with it, and I wake up and think, oh, what's the matter with me? I go to the toilet. No, no, something's the matter with me. Oh, no, I know what this is. Help. God, help. See, this is where the rubber hits the road. I'm in pain. God, you said you deliver me from all my sickness and diseases. So, yes, I do pray and I do rebuke. And I took some painkillers. Anyway, I was really believing the next day I'd be fine. So I come to work Friday. I wasn't fine. It got worse and got worse. And there's a couple of things I don't like doing. I don't like going to doctors. Brad's really nice, but I don't like going to see him. But unless I absolutely have to. It's got to be fairly desperate. And I don't like taking medication. Okay. Got one for no medication. Anyway, so I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to be all weekend with this. Judy's away, and I'll go to the doctor. You see, Brad has protection mechanisms in place. And try as I did, they wouldn't let me see him. Anyway, they said, oh, I can let you see another doctor. I don't want to see another doctor. They don't know about me. Anyway, we highly recommend you see a doctor. So I go to see the doctor. So he gives me these painkillers and said, well, go and get these tests next week. So I take these painkillers home and I think, I don't really want to take them yet. So I waited as long as I could. And then the pain was sort of getting worse. So she told me, take one and see how that went. And if it didn't work, take another. So I took the one and nothing happened. And I waited 20 minutes, you know, it takes a while for it to work. So then I took another one, and then, I don't know if you've ever had this sort of pain, but it makes you sick. And so I vomit, and where the tablet's gone. So I'm thinking, can I take another two? Or have they gone completely? Or did I already have some in my system, and that would be like overdosing on that stuff? I'm home alone, by myself, with pain. So I didn't take any more. Now there is a point to that story. John, when he's writing to the church, he said, I write to you young men because you are strong and the word of God lives in you. Lives in you. See, when I took the tablets, they need time to work. You know, you pop the pills, you don't instantly just get free of pain. You've got to wait for it to get into your system and start producing the result. So after 4 hours, I took another two, and I got 8 hours of relief. What I'm saying to you is, you can sit here week to week, you can read your Bibles, but that word needs to come into your inner being. It's not something that you just know from having learnt it or heard it. It has to be something that is dwelling in you. And if you read that passage, John is saying, he's writing to the young men, and he's saying that they are strong and that they've overcome the evil one because the word of God is living in them. That means we know what the word of God says about this. Ask that couple, what does the word of God say about marriage? I don't know. The word of God's not living in them. They don't have even the remembrance of what it said. So it's not just a matter of remembering intellectually. It's have I established it in my life? Am I praying? Am I fighting through that battle? Tony was talking about being an overcomer. Now, I remember years ago there was a concept of, you know, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. Overcoming is not saying you're an overcomer. Overcoming is when the obstacle is there in your face, you overcome it. And quite often, that's a personal, lonely battle. But some of that is only because we won't trust our brothers and sisters around us to help us overcome. Okay, so where does that leave us? We have the Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. But Jesus also said this to his disciples, not to worry about what they will say because the Holy Spirit will bring to their remembrance. So when we are sitting here and hearing a message, or when you're doing your devotions, or while you're reading your Bible, you need to allow the Word of God to penetrate and soak into your inner being. You need actually to take hold of it. Lord, I believe what you are saying. I believe that you want me . And then you have to allow it to take effect. There are hundreds, thousands of things we could say, but I've found personally that there are instructions in Scripture that if you apply them, produce the outcome. I've only spoken about what Jesus said. You know, one of my favorites, Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, and he said, fix your mind. And this is one of the big challenges today for people, because there's so many distractions, so many external inputs, so much stimulus. But Paul said, Fix your mind on those things that are good and praiseworthy and admirable, and the peace of God that transcends understanding will fill your heart and mind. So what have you got to do when that thing starts to happen, when something starts to unravel, when there's a challenge that you just don't really need at that moment? Fix your mind. That's the word of God. Let me pray for you and invite the worship team to come back. And brothers and sisters, that the reality is this is the daily challenge of walking with God. It's forever. In whatever circumstance we then find ourselves in, circumstances changing all the time. It doesn't remain the same. But unless you get these things solidly planted in your heart and function out of them, it's not a formula. It's not just a word game. It's believing God you said. Father, we thank you for your word. We believe, Lord, it is living. It is active. And Lord, this morning we ask that even these few thoughts would penetrate into our hearts, Lord, and would stir us. Lord, as we pray in many of our prayer meetings, Lord, you alone know the heart and mind of every person. Lord, you know the struggles, you know the fears, you know the pain. But Lord, I remember that when you commenced your ministry, you made a declaration. Jesus, you said the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord was upon you to preach good news, to set the captive free, to give sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I believe that is true today. Lord, you said you came to destroy the work of the enemy and to give us life in all its fullness. So, Lord, even now we ask by your Spirit, you move upon every heart and mind. As we sing, we just open up the altar. If anyone wants to receive prayer for anything, feel free, and someone will come and minister to you.